Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Valley Grove Baptist Church. We are thankful you stopped by to hear from God's Word, to grow closer to Him, and to be inspired to reach your area of influence. Let's go ahead at this point and read our memory verse, and then we'll get into 1 Samuel chapter 1 today. All right, so let's read our memory verse together. So remember, it's 1 Timothy 4:10, and it says, "For to this end we toil and strive. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially those who believe." 1 Timothy 4:10. All right. So today, as we said, we're going to be in 1 Samuel. But before we read anything in 1 Samuel, I got a question I want to ask you. It's one I've been thinking about a lot lately, and so just do this little, I'll give you a second or two, and do this with me. If you were to describe in one word or in a set of words the last 10 weeks of coronavirus and COVID-19, what word would you use to describe it? All right, I'm going to give you just a second. All right, so I wrote down a couple. So here's some of the words that I came up with. Quarantine, right? Social distance. I don't think I've ever put those two words together until now, but social distance, we've heard that a lot. Here's some other ones that I came up with. Some of you might think it's relaxing because, hey, you're working from, you're teleworking from home, right? It might be something you've kind of grown used to. I know I started back working in my office at the church this week, and it was a little different. I had to get used to it. Change may be a good one, but here's one that immediately came to my mind. Chaotic. It seems like for us, at least in an instant, what we knew and what our routine was completely upended. I remember when this whole thing started, it was the middle of March, and Holly was supposed to take a day off of work, and we were going to go to Peaches to Beaches. Which we ended up going to Peaches to Beaches because coronavirus was still kind of new to us in America. And so we went to Peaches to Beaches, had a great time, sold a bunch of junk to people, and I'm thankful for that. And had a great time with some friends. And then all of a sudden, while we're down there, Holly got an email that said, "Hey, we're going to be off for a couple days." Well, that couple days hadn't ended. And so we immediately went from her working and me working here and the boys in sports and taekwondo to nothing. And man, it's been chaotic. Then we went to, you know, the grocery stores being out of food and having to, like, you know, do all this social distancing and all that. And it's been chaotic from day one. Right. And then as time goes on, you know, you're trying to figure out on Aunt Sally's Facebook page, you know, cause she keeps posting every day, like, who the real experts actually are, because it seems like everybody's an expert today. Friends, neighbors, doctors, nurses, everybody, even though they all say different things, everybody's an expert. And so it's been chaotic, right? But if we're honest, if we're really honest, our life is like that a lot. And in general, we kind of move from one chaotic moment to another. There may be some times where there's peace, and we relish those times. And there may be times when there's mountains and there's valleys, but a lot of times our life is chaotic at best. Sometimes it's, you know, light chaos, and sometimes we're in the throes of immense chaos in our life. And you know, if you read the Bible, there's a lot of characters in the Bible that go through very similar things. They have tremendous chaotic moments happen in their life. And so the question I had is, what do we do? What do we do in those moments when chaos seems to reign in our life? And, you know, we went from this very peaceful, knowing where our routine and our place was and knowing what we were supposed to do, to moments of, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. What do we do in those moments? What I want to do over the next couple weeks, few weeks, 3 weeks, I think, is I want to look at that question. What do we do in moments of chaos? And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at three different stories in the Bible. So today we're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 1. Next week we're probably going to look at Jonah, And then the third week, we're going to look at Daniel. And so each of these characters has a different type of chaos going on in their life. It's, each of them experience the same thing. Maybe a better way to say it is it's brought on by different things. And so we're going to look at these three types of chaotic moments in our life and kind of what these biblical characters did and how that applies to our life. Because we're no different than them in some respects. We go through chaotic moments just like they did. And I'm sure some of us have experienced all three, probably all of us have experienced all three of these at some point in our life. And so we're going to look at those over the next 3 weeks. And we're going to start today with 1 Samuel chapter 1 and looking at Hannah. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to walk through the first like 12 verses. I'll stop periodically to kind of give some context because it's through the context that we'll see the problem and then Hannah's solution to the problem, and then we'll kind of draw some parallels to our own life. All right, so let's begin reading in 1 Samuel chapter 1. All right. There was a certain man of Ramathim Zophim of the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zupha, and Ephrathite. I practiced all week on that. All right, collect a sigh of relief. Verse 2. He had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Penina. And Penina had children, but Hannah had no children. All right, so we're starting to see the problem here. Now, well, first, folks, this is a lesson in why having multiple wives is not a good idea, but that's another topic for another day. Hey, that may be one of your hot topics, right? Just kidding, right? This is not a good idea. But it is what it is, and so we'll learn from it. But today, we're going to focus on Hannah. And so we immediately see the problem is that Hannah has no children, but Penina has children. Now, did you notice that? It's plural. It's not that Penina has a child, but she has children. And we'll learn later on in just a second that she has sons and daughters, meaning she has more than one of each. And so she probably has at least four kids, and Hannah has no kids. And so Hannah knows the issues with her. And so she is internally struggling with all this. And so let's keep on reading because we're going to see more of the problem evolve here in just a second. Now, this man Elkanah used to go up year after year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh. So he's a very religious man, very devout follower of God. Where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Penina, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. And listen to this, verse 6. And her rival used to provoke her grievously to irritate her. Now, I want to stop right there because this is critical. That phrase, provoke her grievously to irritate her. So that whole phrase, here's what it means. If I could maybe put it in some different language. It means to angrily provoke someone over and over and over to the point that the person being provoked literally trembles or shakes. You ever been in one of those situations where you were so mad that like you were literally shaking? That's the way Hannah felt over and over and over and over again. So not only could she not have kids and she desperately wanted kids, but the other woman in the relationship used to literally year after year after year after year provoke her to the point where she literally trembled. And let's face it. I think it's probably safe to assume that if Penina did that type of provoking Hannah when they went up to sacrifice every year, it probably happened the other 364 days of the year too. So this was probably a constant thing where Penina was continually provoking Hannah over and over and over and over again. Let's keep reading. And a rival used to provoke her grievously to irritate her because the Lord had closed room. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore, Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? Now, let's be honest. Elkanah is kind of a doofus there. It's a typical man response, right? What's wrong? I don't know what's going on. But you ladies get it, right? I know Holly does. For me, at least. I know she does in my respect. But let's be real, just for a moment. If we're truthful with ourselves here today, we've all been in a situation similar to Hannah. We've all been in a situation of great personal chaos. See, when you read this story, and we've just read the first nine or so verses, you see that there's nothing going on. The author doesn't tell us that Hannah has done anything wrong. Like, there's no sin in Hannah's life. There's no issue. It's just she can't have kids. And we learn, and this could be a topic for another day, that the Lord had closed her womb. So it really wasn't even Hannah's fault. And so Hannah is in this situation of, Lord, what have I done? Why me, Lord? What's going on? And year after year, it seems to not get answered. Some of us today are maybe in that situation right now. Like, we can't figure out what the Lord's doing. We can't figure out what's going on or why we're in this situation or why these results are happening or why this isn't happening, right? Holly and I experienced, and I want to be sensitive here when I tell this story because I know a lot of people have gone through what I'm about to tell in a much worse fashion than we have, than Holly and I have. But Holly and I experienced a very similar thing to what Hannah went through. It took us a long time to get pregnant and have a baby, to have both of our boys. It took a long time for us for that to happen for us. And I remember, man, those were some dark days, some very dark days. And I know some people had it a whole lot worse than we did. So I want to be sensitive. But man, those were some tough moments. Those were some tough months, month after month after month. And, you know, even though you may not have experienced that type of personal chaos with, in revolves to getting pregnant and having kids, some of you have experienced it on your job site. You know, the boss, you know, promised you a promotion and then at the last minute she gave it to somebody else. Or maybe you were promised a raise and you didn't get it, but everybody else did. Or your coworker did, or the person who does the same job that you do got a raise and you didn't. And when you ask why, there's no real definitive answer. You just kind of get the runaround. Or maybe you're trying to look for a job and you know, you can't find one and you've got, you know, you haven't done anything wrong, you hadn't got fired, but yet you can't land that quality job that you're looking for. Or maybe it's with your family and maybe you haven't done anything wrong and maybe you've tried to do the right thing and still you're kind of the quote-unquote black sheep of the family and you can't figure out why. Or maybe it's with your health. You know, you've taken care of your body. You did everything right. You know, you only had the occasional piece of fried chicken and pizza and all that, you know. But yet, your health is always an issue and is a question. And you see people, your friends, they eat whatever they want to, they do whatever they want to, and they never have a health issue. But you do. See, friends, all of us have experienced personal chaos at some point in one way or another. It may look different, that the situation may be different, but the experience is very similar for all of us as it is for Hannah here in this story. And so what we need to see today is, or what we need to ask at this point is, what did Hannah do? And so we're going to read the next couple of verses and see what she did, and then we're going to draw out a few more little parallels of what we should do today. So what did Hannah do? Continue with me. Verse number 9. So on this particular year, after they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, after they'd had their meal, they've given their sacrifices to the Lord, they worshiped the Lord, they had their dinner basically, Hannah rose. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. So Hannah goes up to the temple, to the tabernacle where they're worshiping the Lord at, or they had given their sacrifice worship. And listen, she was deeply distressed, we can understand why, and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of life, and no razor shall touch his head. So what did Hannah do? Very simply, she prayed, right? She prayed. Now, she prayed openly. She didn't like beat around the bush, and she didn't like kind of be, she wasn't vague or philosophical or, you know, use lofty words. Man, she got right to the point. She was pointed. She was open. She was honest. She said, Lord, I don't have a son. I'd really like to have one. I'd really like to have kids. What's going on? And so she prayed pointedly and openly and honestly. And then she prayed specifically. Like she didn't, you know, kind of meander around what was going on in her life. No, she was like, got right to the point. Her prayer is only just a few sentences. It's not really that long. But the point is not necessarily what she prayed, although there are pieces of that that we need to gain. It's that she prayed. See, friends, I often find myself in times of chaos. I want to be a doer. Like in life in general, I have a hard time like sitting still and not having some type of project or doing something or sketching out a plan for something I'm going to build or, you know, figuring out, making a list of things I'm going to do the next day. Sometimes I just have a hard time just sitting still. And maybe you're a doer. Maybe you're like me and that's kind of your mode of operation in times of chaos. Well, I'm gonna do something. I think what we need to learn from Hannah here today is that for those of us who are doers, and we need to slow down and we need to pray. Hannah could have done a lot of things. The one thing she does is pray. And we need to remember that. Because sometimes, and here's kind of the main idea I want you to take away today. Sometimes in moments of great personal chaos, all we can do is pray. And that's okay. You don't always have to be outdoing. Others of you may not necessarily do, but man, you may text and you may consult, you may call other people. So in moments of great personal chaos, your first reaction is to reach out to other people. That's not bad in and of itself, just like doing is not bad in and of itself. But that's your natural first step is, hey, I'm going to call my friend, or I'm going to call this person, or I'm going to call this person, or I'm going to call that person. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. Hannah could have done that too. But what does Hannah do? She prays. She talks to the one person who she knows is the only person who can make a difference in that situation. And friends, so if your first step is to consult and call other people, I'm not saying don't do that. I'm just saying that from Hannah, we learn that we need to talk to God first and more than we do all our friends. And we need to listen to Him more than everybody else. Because His word, His, what He is trying to convey into our life should trump other people, right? Because I may steer you wrong. Other people may steer you wrong, but He never will, right? And so for those who are doers, we need to stop and pray. We need to slow down and pray. For those of us who immediately pick up the phone and call somebody, we need to talk to God more and listen to Him more than we do everybody else. Others of us, now I'm going to be honest with you, sometimes I can fall into this one as well. Sometimes we languish in apathy, right? That's another operational mode that we can fall into. In times of great personal chaos, we just shut down and don't do anything, right? Now, that's not good. That's not good. Self-reflection's good, yeah, but this isn't self-reflection. It's beyond, we just sit down and don't do anything. And if that's your mode of operation, don't settle for spiritual apathy, but pray. Don't become a spiritual couch potato. pray instead. And in those moments, whether it's we're running to do or we're running to consult or we're laying back doing nothing, what we learn from Hannah is in moments of great personal chaos, we need to pray. And sometimes that's all we can do. But guess what? That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. And in fact, that's what we should be doing. Now, how does the story work out for Hannah? Well, you can go and finish reading it in the rest of chapter 1 and then chapter 2 and then into chapter 3 and see how the whole story plays out. But here, I'll tell it to you briefly. So Hannah prays. They leave. The Lord blesses Hannah mightily. And her and Elkanah actually have a son together, and his name's Samuel. Now, she treasures Samuel, and Samuel grows up, and at an appropriate time when he's older, she does, in fact, give him back to the Lord. And he goes and lives with the priest mentioned earlier, Eli, in the story. And he lives there, and God speaks to him, and God moves in his life. And as he grows up, and about the end of chapter 2, middle of chapter 2, it says that Samuel grows up in stature and favor with God and people. And he continues to grow, and God continues to bless him. And at the end, and by the time he's a grown adult, in chapter 3, around verse 20, the author tells us that all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, which is like from the very north to the very south, everybody knows that Samuel is a prophet of the Lord. And Samuel grows up and is, in fact, the spiritual leader of Israel for decades. In fact, Samuel is the one who anoints Ruth and Boaz's great-great-grandson, David, king of Israel. And so you see how these two stories weave together. So here's the question I know you're probably asking at this time, because this is a question that I had this week. So is my story, or is my prayer that I prayed in a time of personal chaos going to be answered exactly like Hannah's was? And here's how I'll answer that question. I have confidence that God will answer your prayer, but I'm pretty confident he won't do it exactly like he did Hannah's. And that's a good thing, because see, you don't want God to answer your prayer exactly like he did Hannah's prayer, because you're in a completely different situation. You're in a completely different circumstances. You don't live in Israel 3,000 years ago. You live in the United States in 2020. And so you're a different person. You're in a different place, different circumstances. And so you don't want God's answer to Hannah's prayer. You want God's answer to your prayer that's specific to your circumstance in this moment. And so when we pray, we should pray that specifically and openly and honestly and pointedly and all of those things, just like Hannah did. We shouldn't beat around the bush and be vague and meander and walk all around. We should be specific and pray openly and honestly about what's going on in our life. And we should want God in that praying process, we should want God to answer it according to his will and according to his purpose and according to his providence and his plan, like we've talked about a couple weeks ago. But we should want him to do it in our situation. We shouldn't want him to export answer to Hannah's prayer into ours, because that was for Hannah, and we should want God's answer for our prayer, right? And so I don't know where you're at this week, and I don't know what you're going through. I don't know where life has taken you or is going to take you in the future. But I can promise you one thing. I've lived long enough to know that we are all going to experience times of great personal chaos. Sometimes they seem like they stack on top of each other over and over and over again. And sometimes it seems like one season lasts a really long time. No matter what it is, let me encourage you. Pray. Pray openly, pray specifically, pray honestly. Keep on praying. Don't give up. Paul tells us to not grow weary in praying, to pray in all things, right? And so I would encourage you to do that. So here's your challenge this week. If you're in a moment, or you're in a season of personal chaos, or you're about to go into one and you don't know it yet, right? Whatever the situation is, this week, before you just run and do, before you pick up the phone, and before you languish on the couch in apathy, pray. Pray. Pray like Hannah did. Pray openly, specifically, honestly, pointedly, get down to business with the Lord. I hope that's what you'll do, because that is what the Lord would have you to do in that situation. All right, friends, it's been great to be with you again this Sunday as we kind of move almost into June here. We're going to be in June pretty soon. We'll finish up the month of May last week, the next week, right? And then we'll look forward. Man, I am so cannot wait to be back with you in person on June 14th. It's going to be a great Sunday, I already know. So let's pray, and then we'll close out our service today. Lord, thank you so much for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your goodness and your kindness, and for all that you are doing in our hearts and lives each and every day. Lord, we thank you that you love us, that you care for us, that your mercies are new every day. And Lord, whether we are in a time of personal chaos, or we're going to go into one in the near future or in the distant future, Lord, whenever it is, I hope we will remember what Hannah did here today. And we will pray, and we pray openly and honestly, pointedly. We'll pray specifically. Or because sometimes in moments of great personal chaos, all we can do is pray. But Lord, that's completely okay. So Lord, go with us this week. May we honor you in all that we say and do. In your name we pray. Amen. Hey friends, it's been great to be with you again on another Sunday. And let's say our closing together. All right, is everybody ready? Let's move ourselves and others this week as we impact our area of influence. Hey, I love you. We love you at Valley Grove. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of the week. Bye. Thanks for listening. For more information about Valley Grove, visit our Facebook page or website, valleygrovechurch.org.